The Playful Psychologist podcast is hosted by me, Emily Hanlon, a clinical psychologist who primarily works with children and adolescents. This podcast has been designed to offer support to new psychologists who may feel as though they are drowning in uncertainty. It has also been designed to inform and educate parents and teachers on all things child development. Along with some special guests, I explore different aspects of child development, including developmental disorders and emotional regulation, while also advocating for those who may be falling through the cracks in our current system. This episode is proudly sponsored by Mr. Jones. Their products are designed to support your energy levels, metabolism, and brain function throughout the day. You can learn more about their products in the episode notes for today's podcast. Hey guys, and welcome to today's episode of The Playful Psychologist. Today's episode is more for graduates, new graduates, people that are about to graduate with a psychology degree and enter some form of employment. So I've actually recently had so many new graduates reach out to me about how stressed they are when it comes to employment. They don't know whether to accept an employee position or to accept a contracting role. So today I wanted to discuss the pros and cons of both, but I just want to reiterate that this is my personal opinion. I'm not a financial advisor. And I just really want to reiterate that everyone is going to have different thoughts on this. And this is just based on my experience and the research that I did when I was choosing what was best for me, because I have been an employee and I have been a contractor. But before we get into, you know, the pros and cons, let's actually just have a brief recap and a chat about what both actually are and what they kind of entail. So I got this off the APS website, which I think is really good because it, you know, is in the scope of psychology. An employee is a person who works under an employment contract of service. Generally, he or she is required to work specific hours for set pay under the direction of an employer. The employment entitlements such as wages, holiday pay, sick leave, and superannuation are the responsibility of the employer. An employee's taxation is also the responsibility of the employer, who is required to deduct tax at each pay period and provide a group certificate at the conclusion of the financial year. In contrast, contractors can choose to work their own hours. True contractors generally set their own fees and arrange their own time, including work hours and holidays. Contractors also work under limited or no supervision. So just based on that, you can, you know, it's daunting. That's a lot of information, and being a new graduate is already really daunting. And there's a lot to consider. And I know a lot of you, and this was the case for me too, think that it's just safer and more secure to be on a salary and be an employee because you know how much money is coming in and, you know, you can financially plan. But I do want to chat to you about the pros and cons of both, because like I said, I have been on a salary and I have been a contractor. So let's just look at that. So if we're looking at employees, the pros of being an employee, obviously you've got security of income. You know what you're getting pay-wise and you know when you're going to get it. And this can give you real peace of mind. Often, not always as well, employees are paid fortnightly, whereas contractors are more so typically paid monthly. And I know a lot of people prefer to be paid fortnightly over monthly. I know I do. So that, you know, is a definite pro to being an employee. And you also don't have to worry about saving for tax or paying yourself your superannuation, because like I previously said, your job literally takes care of all of that for you. And I guess the most common pro for being an employee is that you get sick pay, you get annual leave, which is great if you have kids because they're constantly getting sick at daycare. And you know that you're guaranteed that leave. You know that legally they have to give it to you. So I think that's a real bonus of being an employee, and probably the biggest bonus of being on a salary. And also, an employee doesn't really have any startup costs. As an independent contractor, you do have quite a few startup costs. So that may include things like an ABN, buying resources, getting your insurance, and so on. Whereas as an employee, you're often reimbursed for a lot of the things that you do buy for work. However, I think it's really important to be mindful that if you are reimbursed, it actually has to stay with your employer when you leave the practice. So for example, when I was an employee, I rarely asked for reimbursement for resources because I wanted to take all that stuff with me when I eventually left and became a contractor. As an employee, you also, I guess, have motivation to succeed because, you know, either your boss or your team expects results. You may have certain KPIs that you need to meet. You may be working towards a pay rise and so on. Whereas as an independent contractor, you need to be self-motivating. However, again, that being said, I also struggled with motivation even as an employee, even with KPIs and, you know, raises and all of that. And if you want to learn more about that, listen to episode 1 of season 3 because I go into why it's so important for new grads to set goals. So there are, as you can see, like we just spoke about, quite a few pros to being an employee. But now let's look at some of the cons. So an employee doesn't have the same tax advantages as a self-employed person for business expenses. So contractors can write off all reasonable and necessary business expenses, whereas it's a little bit trickier for an employee. I'm not going to go into that too much because I'm not an accountant, but from my experience, it's a lot easier come tax time. An employee often also has required hours that they must be at work, even if they don't have clients, whereas an independent contractor doesn't. So for example, if you are a employee and your hours are 9 to 5, you need to be there 9 to 5 regardless of when your first client of the day is. And if your first client of the day is at 12, it kind of sucks that you need to be there at 9. Whereas as a contractor, if you don't have your first client till 2 p.m., you don't have to be at work until 2 p.m. So that's a definite disadvantage to being an employee. And also, an employee will likely have to assign any intellectual property created during employment, such as groups or even articles that you write, to the employer. And I think that is so important. Whereas if you're a contractor, you typically retain those rights. So to break that down, what that means is if you're an employee and you create a group treatment program, maybe like a social skills group or something like that, you cannot take that with you when you leave because it was created during hours that your employee was paying you. So that intellectual property technically and legally actually belongs to them unless otherwise specified in your contract. So that is definitely something that you need to consider. Or if you are an employee and you want to be an employee, it's definitely something I would strongly recommend writing into your contract. Okay, so we've looked at employees. Let's look at contractors now. So a lot of people kind of disregard being a contractor, or they just don't even consider it because they think that they're not being paid for when they're not working, or like when they're not seeing a client. And obviously as well, they're really deterred by the fact that you don't get sick or annual leave. So I want to break this down for you and really like dissect it. For me personally, I figured out that I was still earning more as a contractor, even if I included any unpaid sick days that I took. I don't take many, disclaimer, maybe 2 a year. That may change now that I have a baby, but yeah, I think in the last 2 years I maybe took 3 sick days. And also if I included any unpaid annual leave that I decided to take. And a lot of people think that you shouldn't be a contractor because you're not getting paid when you don't work. You're not getting paid for leave. You're not getting paid if you're just sitting there, you know, resource creating. But here's the thing that I want to break down. As a new graduate in Australia, according to the APS, you can earn anywhere between $35 an hour and $50 an hour, depending on your credentials and where you are, you know, in your endorsements and so on. For an 8-hour day, not including lunch, so let's say around 7.6 hours per day, that amounts to anywhere between $266 and $380 roughly each day before tax, which is great. On a contract, most contracts typically you take home about 60% of what you earn. So you're the person that hired you as a contractor takes 40%, and that covers quite a few of the like overheads, like your rent and so on. And you typically take home 60%. As a side note, that's quite common, the 60-40 breakdown. A lot of people have reached out saying they didn't realize that. 60-40 is common, but 50-50 is always also common. I personally wouldn't recommend accepting anything under 60-40. I would definitely make sure that you're at least getting 60% of the work that you're doing. So yeah, sorry, that was a bit of a side note. But on a contract, like I said, you typically take home 60% of what you make per hour. So if your clients are paying roughly $200 an hour to see you, if you're a clinical psychologist, you're earning $120 per hour before tax. So that means in just over 3 hours, you can be earning the exact same amount that you'd be earning in an 8-hour day on a salary. So if you see 5 clients a day, and most of you will see more than that, I know I definitely see more than that, you could earn $600 a day, which is $220 more per day than you would earn on a salary. And that's takes into account, that extra money that you make takes into account your sick leave and your annual leave. And if you are smart with your money and you're organized and you have accounts set up and you can do all that, being a contractor is much more financially savvy at certain points in your life because you can earn more in much less time. So I even think that even being a mum now, being a contractor, although I don't get that sick pay when my little one is sick, being a contractor is going to be much more financially beneficial for me because I have the flexibility to, you know, choose my own hours and earn more in a shorter space of time. And for me, it's worth giving up some of the other benefits in order to have that flexibility. So on the note of flexibility, you do as a contractor, another pro is you have flexibility with your timetable. Most places will kind of allow you to roughly choose your hours. So for example, before kids, I asked my boss if I could work full-time hours in like a condensed space of time, and she was all for that. So I was working at roughly 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., 3 days a week, and then a half day at home writing reports and so on. So that would mean I only had to work 3.5 days a week instead of five. And that also meant I didn't have to come in at 9 a.m. if I didn't have a client. I could come in when I had a client. I didn't even have to come in at 10 a.m. if I didn't have a client. I came in whenever I had clients. And I think that's the beauty of being a contractor. You can take as much or as little time that suits you to see clients. If you only want to see clients 5 or 6 hours a week, then you can do that if your workplace is agreeable to that. And also, contractors can take as much time or as little time off as suits them. On the other hand, employees in Australia are typically limited to 20 days of annual leave, and many of those days you're forced to take off during like seasonal periods, so like Christmas, Easter, and so on, when the clinic is closed, and you can't really, you know, be flexible. So that really only leaves you like 2 weeks for the rest of the year to take off. Whereas when you're a contractor, they're a little bit more lenient in the time that you're allowed to take off because they're not paying you for that time off. So you've just got a little bit more flexibility in that regard. And you also, as a contractor, get to be your boss in an own way. So you have more flexibility in the work you want to do and the types of clients that you want to see. So yeah, they're the pros to being a contractor in my opinion, but now let's look at some of the cons. So like I previously said, you obviously have no additional benefits such as sick leave or annual leave. You also have no financial support with professional development or supervision. Now keep in mind that not all employers will provide you with financial support for PD or supervision, but some will. So it's just important to shop around and have a really good read of your contract. You have to also, as a contractor, manage your own tax and put money away in a separate account to pay at tax time. And GST can also become a little bit complicated, which is a, you know, tax we have in Australia. So you may need to consult an accountant just to figure out, you know, the best way to make sure you're on top of things. And again, you have to pay your own superannuation. So for me, I just set up a reminder when I get paid at the end of every month, and I, you know, look at a spreadsheet that I created, and I put my tax away in a separate account that I don't touch until tax time. And I pay my superannuation by like direct deposit, really, or BPAY straight into that account. So these things aren't hard to do at all. They're not hard. They're just something extra that you have to do. Again, you have to organize your own insurance. Not hard to do, just something extra that you have to do because you're not insured by your boss. You have to get your own insurance if you're a contractor. So all these, like I said, all these things, they're not hard, they're just extra. So you do need to really be organized and stay on top of things. I actually have a spreadsheet that I can share if you're interested that just kind of calculates the percentage of your pay to put away at tax time or for your, like at the end of the week in regards to tax and super and stuff. And then it just keeps it all for me, and then I know what I have to do each pay. So if you would like that, just email me at theplayfulpsychologist@gmail.com and I'll be happy to send it to you because it just makes it a lot simpler. And, you know, I always overestimate my tax so that at tax time I get like a little bit of a, you know, personal tax back, which is always quite nice. So just email me if you want that spreadsheet. And also, because being a contractor, you're technically self-employed, it can be a little bit tricky to get a bank loan. So that's just something to keep in mind if you're looking to buy a property in the next 1 to 2 years or looking to get a car loan or a business loan or so on. Often banks do require you to show like 2 years roughly worth of records as a contractor before they consider any form of loan. And that's not always the case, obviously, as there are always other factors that come into play, but it's just something to be mindful of that it can be a little bit trickier when it comes to bank loans and so on. So there, I guess, the pros and cons that I really wanted to highlight between employee and contractor positions. But if you are considering becoming a contractor, please just consider the following. Know your self-worth. Like I mentioned, I wouldn't take anything under a 60-40 agreement. I definitely wouldn't consider a 50-50 agreement. You have the credentials to earn more than that. Some places offer you 70-30. That's amazing, but I would definitely accept a 60-40 situation. Definitely set reminders to pay your super, create an extra account for tax, and be mindful of any limitations to your current work. So just ensure that there's a clause in your contract that will allow you to simultaneously contract elsewhere if that's what you desire. So if you only want to contract 2 days at your current workplace, make sure that they're okay with you working as a contractor somewhere else, and make sure that's written into your contract so that they, have to, abide by that. And also be mindful that the person hiring you is not charging you rent plus a percentage. So that's extremely uncommon, but some places unfortunately do try and do it. Yes, your workplace will deduct admin fees from your pay, but they should never deduct rent unless your percentage is like 80-20. The rent should be covered by the percentage that they take that covers all the overhead, such as electricity and so on. So just be mindful of that. And just in general, things to be mindful of in your contract, regardless of whether you're an employee or a contractor, be mindful of the restrictions on who you can work with or where you can work after you leave, and the restrictions on the kilometer radius that you can work. So if you live in a small area and they say you can't work within 10K for 2 years after you work with us, that can be a little bit tricky because you might need to go to the next town. So just be mindful of that. And also be mindful of restrictions on referral outlets. So some contracts will say things like, oh, you can't use the same referrers as us for 2 to 5 years after you leave us. That's not very fair. So just be mindful that there's not something like that in your contract. And like I said, compromise on a higher percentage if you bring in the referral. So for example, if you are taking 60% of every client, but you're bringing in a referral, talk to your workplace about writing a clause in your contract that if you bring the referral in, you get 70% for that particular client. A lot of workplaces are really happy to do that. You just have to kind of talk to them and compromise. And also, if you are on a salary contract, chat to your workplace about different things that you can do just to make sure you're getting the most bang for your buck. So for example, at my last job, I was on a salary throughout the week, but a percentage cut every time I ran a group that I had created. So that worked really well for me. It meant I had the best of both worlds, I guess. And also, regardless of whether you are on a salary or you are a contractor, make sure that your workplace is allowing you admin time, and make sure that you are putting in admin time. Don't work yourself to the ground. Do not let your employer or your boss or your workplace, whoever that may be, make you see 8 clients a day with absolutely no admin time. Please make sure of that. You need it for your own self-care and your own well-being. Also, be really clear about your boundaries and how many clients you feel comfortable seeing, and work with them if they expect you to see more. Maybe work towards that and try and set up a bit of a system. Ensure you're also doing supervision or peer supervision. And if you are an employee, try to discuss PD funds or supervision funds with your employer. They may not cover everything, but it may cover some of it. And also, finally, if you are a new grad, set goals. Listen to my podcast episode on this. It is so important, especially for new grads. It's episode 1 of season 3. It's a must for new grads. So please listen to it. It's really short. I think it's like under 12 minutes. It might even be 8 minutes. So definitely check that out. And finally, if you'd like to chat about any of this further or you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, you can always book a mentoring session with me. I'll pop the link in the episode notes. So please feel free to. We can do it on Zoom and I can really help you talk all through this and figure out what's best for you. And I'm also going to link a good website for more clarification on, private contracting and employment and so on. But I hope that was helpful, and I hope that answers a lot of the questions that you guys have been sending me about whether or not to accept a salary or a contract. But if you do have any other questions, you can always email me or DM me on Instagram @theplayfulpsychologist. Hope that was helpful. See you later.